that those are thinking. But not a dog. The. We think of Mishpatim, such as you learn very Draconis. We think of Mishpatim as being all about the Dean of Hamas, all about financial law. I owe you money, I cause you damage, you watch this country for me, how do we adjudicate? How do we adjudicate the immigrants? If you dig deeper, especially with the Shine Nicker at the Targum Club, you get beyond the first couple of famous paragraphs in Mishpatim, Mishpatim opens up the whole swath of halakha. Even Kashas makes in many ways one of its, if not its first, major appearance in Chumash, the Parashat Mishpatim. Torah talks about the Kashas of meat. Torah talks about kosher and trade, the Parashat Mishpatim. Basar basada treifa, if an animal has some sort of anatomical defect, maybe a problem with the lungs, a problem with the heart, something, you find some metal in the digestive system, different sorts of anatomical defects, even though if the animal had a proper shita, you cannot eat that meat. But the original example in Chumash is basar basada treifa. You find an animal, a sheep, let's imagine, has been clawed by a wolf, the sheep's been clawed maybe by a panther, and it's alive, you could in theory shock that animal, you need to give it a proper shita, because the damage it underwent while alive, it will be a trefa, even if you shock it, you cannot eat it. The Torah says, you have basar, basar, and trefa, the Torah says, you got to be holy, and shekodesh tigumli, beware of eating trefa, a Jew can't eat it, instead, lakela, tashlikotza. No Jew can eat this meat. Instead, hand it to the dog. It can be dog food, but it cannot be, it's not fit for Jewish human consumption. Why dog? Can't eat it. Do something else with it. Don't eat it. What is a dog? The Rashi tells us, quoting Chazal, where we see and who's the dog? Don't just say give it to a dog. Look at it, say, lock it. We've met this dog before. Who's the dog? The Rashi says, oh, we met a dog 3 weeks ago. In Parshas Bo, the dogs were there and they were silent. Torah says, "V'chol bnei Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu was promised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so it happens that on the eve of Yitzias and Sarayim, Klal Yisrael on the way out, and you would have expected apparently the dogs to give them a hard time. Apparently the Egyptians did not raise poodles, but the Egyptian equivalent of the German Shepherd." Didn't give the Jews a hard time. The Chol B'nai Yisrael, the Ephraim's capital, Shono, the Chumash tells us in Parshas Bo. The Egyptian dogs let us leave quietly. They didn't get involved. They didn't give us a hard time. So Rashi quotes the Chazal as payment, as reward to the dogs for having been quiet, as reward for the dogs for their own passive participation. It says in Mitzrayim, they'll get their scars. When we have basar basar the trade, we have that meat. Give it to the dog, that's payback for the chesed it did for us if you were leaving Mitzrayim. That's the approach that Rashi gives us. But we take a step back for a moment, especially if dogs are a thing. Even Ezra, so why are dogs in this picture? Like, think about that picture for a moment. This is a real picture, I'm sorry, not urban. But you come back at the end of the day, you're a biochemist. During the day, you work for a big pharmaceutical company, and in the evening, you come back to your herd of sheep, because you live, I don't know where the rural areas are, here in Los Angeles, Kansas. You come back to your sheep at night, and there's a sheep missing. You had 217, you come back, and 216 are still standing, but the 217 is bloodied on the side. So there's a man, and there's a wounded sheep. Why is there a dog in this? What type of dog is it? Right, her dog, right? Sounds like a sheep dog. Ibn Ezra says, "Seven Rishonim say, what? The dog is here because he's the dog. Because he's the dog who watches the sheep. He's the dog who's supposed to alert the people to the coming of a predator, and that's why he's at hand." And Tzai tells us in the parish of Kumar, say, "One second, meaning." You come back one day, and one of the sheep has been attacked by a predator, meaning the sheepdog failed. He was supposed to, he did not play solid defense today. And you're supposed to keep the wolves at bay. You're supposed to keep the panthers at bay. And today he let someone through. And one sheep is down. And so what do? So you say to this dog, here, have some fresh meat. Aren't you rewarding failure? He messed up. There's a dying sheep because the dog was asleep on the job. So what do? You say thank you? And you reward him for his failure? Counterintuitive. Paskei Vatos is something so profound. We never have touched a sheep or a dog in our life. This is well in every single one of us, at least once a week, maybe multiple times a day. Paskei Vatos says, that's human nature. That's right. Our natural, normal reaction would be, you come back that day, and the dog failed, and there's a dying sheep, and you're furious. You want to kill that dog. What'd you do? And the Torah says, we're going to strive to do more than just natural, normal response. We're going to strive for a thoughtful, rational response. Because honestly, let's think about it. The normal human emotional reaction is a furious. But the better reaction, the one that the Torah expects of us, is to say, one second, why am I so upset? Because he failed. Because I'm used to his success. Because for the last 99 days, I came back every day and everything was fine. And did I say thank you? Of course not. I just took it for granted. I just relied on the dog, day in, day out, day in, day out. Everything's always in place, everything always works, and we're good. The one day that he fails, it hits me, what do you do? And I get furious. But I shouldn't. Now is my opportunity instead to turn around and say, thank you. The last 99 times that everything was fine. Because it's human nature to take good stuff for granted. But it happens all the time. And with this one-time failure, all of a sudden, it focuses on the one failure instead of 99 successes. When we all have people in our lives, every single person in this room, I'm sure, has multiple people in your life who do stuff for you on a regular basis. So much so that it's sort of, it's in the woodwork. You sort of take it for granted. But the people who are always there for you, the stuff that just works out every day, it's just taken care of. And this stuff just works. And all of a sudden, one day the system breaks down, and the food isn't there, and the clothing isn't there, and whatever, the people aren't there for you, the person who picks you up every day and drives you, the one day that he or she is late, boom, it's not working out. Which is true, it's not working out. But how often do you say thank you for 99 times? That's it. Now, Skate Bible said, this person is Mishpatin, Rakel of Tashtikin or so. The dog failed to him. That's right, the dog let you down. And you ought to be upset. But you ought to be 99 times as grateful for 99 times that he was there for you. That sort of just flew below the radar. And let's turn it around just a drop. Because not only is this a powerful shock number two, but an incredibly powerful lesson in that, but I think it sheds a lot of light on the approach of Rashi gives us as well. If this pasuk is meant to be scar for the dogs of Mitzrayim, those dogs are long deceased for well over 3 millennia. But what does that teach us? To be thankful for the things that people don't do. If we're trying to grow as people of Hakar Satan, as people of gratitude, One growth area is to sensitize ourselves not just to the one-time thing, but to be even more grateful for the things that happen, all the little stuff that happens all the time. And perhaps another area of growth is to think about saying, developing gratitude for people don't do on our behalf. Who are the people who make space for us to grow? Who are the people who bit their tongue when they could have said something nasty? We let them down, and they could have said something, and they just let it flow. Maybe there's an adult in your life, or two, or three, or five, who won't comment. You might know this, sometimes they comment, that echoes you. And how about the 10 times that they could have commented, and didn't? Bakel Tashnikar or so is an incredibly, incredibly simple and powerful opportunity to think about our subject. I think I've heard it terms of the everyday that we take for granted. Think about the Akars Tov for the invisible things that people, where people make space for us. And let's turn and let's close by turning around one more time. If it sensitizes us to the noticing the significance of little things that people do, sometimes so little, but other things that tend to fly below the radar, it might also turn around and think about the significance of what we can accomplish. But we might not realize the value of what we can, the impact we can have by doing little things. We might not realize the impact we can have by not choosing to not do, choosing to keep our mouths shut, choosing to make space for someone else to move forward, someone else to be able to accomplish. That is incredible. If we can grow as people of Akar Satov, hopefully the result to the beginning of that process. The Anshei Kodesh, who you lead, to become people of great future. Thank you so much. I thank Rabbi Safran, I thank Rabbi Schreiber, I thank Rabbi Sauer, and all the Rabbein for this opportunity to share some time with you. The result to see great bracha, and to see great Kedusha in the realm of Makabel Kaber, the marvelous day. Mm.